When your furnace quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And we're joined now in studio by Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure, Infrastructure, Public Service Reform and Digitalisation. Good evening to you, Minister.
Good evening, Kira.
Let's start by talking about the Iran war. What exactly is the government position on it? Because I'm not sure I know.
Well, look, we're deeply concerned with the escalating conflict in the region, and we have a strong track record on international law and on multilateralism. And clearly, any action that creates conflict is something that is of serious concern and regret to the Irish government and citizens that are affected by this. And that's why we want to try and put this into a position of dialogue and diplomacy, and that's the context in which we've set out. We obviously have also clear condemnation for the Iranian regime, the brutal oppression of their citizens, and also their actions in the Gulf region in recent days have put a lot of citizens from Europe and elsewhere at serious risk.
Okay, I'm still not entirely sure whether you approve of it. For example, Emmanuel Macron, French president, has said that Paris cannot approve of US and Israeli actions. The Spanish prime minister has slammed the war in Iran as illegal.
Well, there's no UN mandate for this military action, and we support UN multilateralism.
So would you agree that this war is an illegal war?
I think it is something that is not framed in the context of international law, and that's why we're trying to promote dialogue and diplomacy around this. And we're very concerned about the escalation and the risk that's being created as a result of the action taken here.
So to be clear, if it's not within the legal framework of international law, it's therefore illegal. Is that what you're saying?
It's something that the United Nations and others can kind of define around what the around that context.
So the Irish government is saying they're going to leave it to others to define this. Do you see where the criticism might be coming from, which is out there from Irish citizens, some Irish citizens, on the government not condemning it, not calling it illegal? They believe you're not calling a spade a spade. And they were wondering why you're doing that.
Well, look, we've been clear on us supporting multilateralism, international law, and calling for dialogue and diplomacy first. And that's what we've said around our track record in terms of international law and our support for the United Nations, and clearly the risk that's there for Irish citizens too.
Okay, I'm still not entirely sure whether or not the Irish government believes this is an illegal war.
Well, look, we obviously work with our European partners and with the United
Some
Nations.
Some of whom have said it is an illegal war.
In the context of what it's defined as. But what we've said is we do not, the escalation of conflict is of serious concern to the Irish government. The actions that create conflict are of concern to the Irish government. And we support multilateralism and engagement in the context of after occurring.
So I think you're just not going to say the words, and we will move on as a consequence. Let's talk about what's happening in Lebanon. Obviously, a ground force from Israel now in southern Lebanon, people being told to evacuate. What's going to happen to Irish soldiers there?
So the safety and security of Ireland's Defence Force personnel remains of paramount importance to the government. There's obviously ongoing tensions and escalation there, and Minister for Defence is in constant contact through the Chief of Staff and monitoring that situation closely and working with the respective battle groups of the UN to monitor that situation, and their safety is obviously of paramount importance. So there isn't any change to
is
their position in terms of Lebanon.
Them being there? I mean, they're obviously at some risk. There are missiles flying into southern Lebanon from Israel, and from what I can understand from hearing Minister McEntee talking about it, she was saying that they are in groundhog, so they're in bunkers. If they aren't doing anything, if they are just sitting there, is there a point to putting Irish lives at risk in that way?
Well, look, notwithstanding what's after happening in the last number of days, this is a, and obviously there's been a wider removal of this in the next year or two, which is disappointing because it's an important mission and has been for defence forces and peacekeeping over many years. Their safety is of paramount importance. There's military personnel on the ground and elsewhere who...
What have they achieved by way of peacekeeping, considering the region is at war?
There's obviously, in recent days, it's of serious concern that there's an escalation of conflict, but they have done and could continue to do extensive work. I don't know what way this will evolve in the next number of days and weeks, but a removal of peacekeeping troops could create a potential further risk of escalation, for example. So,
could it escalate much more than a ground force crossing the border and missiles flying both ways?
Well, it could, and there's obviously a wider risk there. But I think we've to, take on board the expertise of the military advice and the work of the United Nations there to protect their safety, and obviously to assess their respective position and safety in the context of what's evolving presently and over the coming days.
The Irish citizens who are caught up in this, either in transit or by living in the Middle East, some people have exited the region today. What do you expect to see happen over the coming days in terms of getting people out?
So there's another commercial flight tomorrow, I understand, and obviously there's a charter flight procured by the Irish government for Friday. We're working in the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Where is that leaving from?
I think it's Oman, is my understanding, and obviously there's hopefully more commercial flights from the Gulf region itself, depending on the safety assessment.
So are
any given
people
day.
To make their own way from the Gulf states, Dubai,
so it's
Qatar to
people,
Oman?
There's a risk assessment being undertaken. Obviously, the most vulnerable citizens are being prioritised in the context of what they're submitting to the Department of Foreign Affairs, and they'll work on a consular basis.
So pregnant women, the elderly, those with health concerns, you will tell people who is going to be on that flight and who is not going to be on
absolutely
that flight?
Absolutely. There's consular advice and, I suppose, an independent assessment of who should be on that particular flight, and separately working with the commercial airlines on hopefully getting more connectivity through where it's safe to do so for many of the other citizens that are there.
Okay, but you believe that those, particularly those in transit who have no accommodation, that they will exit the region this week?
I can't. I'm not going to give you a particular timeline on that, except to say there is more commercial flights exiting the region. We obviously are putting forward a charter flight to prioritise vulnerable citizens, and there's extensive work ongoing with the European partners and with the Gulf region to support our citizens on the ground.
Lastly, on this topic, the St. Patrick's Day trips for ministers overseas, many of them would have probably transited through that region, going to Asia, going to Australia or where have you. What happens now?
I think some are adjusting their travel schedules or their flight plans, for example, and for obviously others are unaffected depending on what region they're going to. So I think that's ongoing. I'm personally unaffected by it, but I know colleagues who would have otherwise.
But they
planned.
Will just reroute if they're expected to be in India or somewhere. They will just reroute via a different way.
I expect that's what's happening by government colleagues and departments.
Okay, just with regard to the price gouging and the issues around energy currently. I know that initially, certainly the government position was that there would be no review of the carbon tax increases. There would be no additional energy credits. We've heard noises now that you may soften on some of that, that there may be now a review of carbon tax. Why have you changed your mind?
We've no plan to change the planned increases in carbon tax. This is something that we introduced in 20...
It's been reported widely that the Taoiseach has said it is under review.
The carbon tax is something that has been legislated from 2020 out to 2030. It's hypothecated in terms of the expenditure that comes from it around retrofitting agri-environmental schemes and important supports from a social protection perspective. And it's, Taoiseach said yesterday in the Dáil, and was justifying the trajectory of carbon tax when he spoke about it. What we've said is we'll keep the wider position under review, but we need to be very careful about any ad hoc interventions that we make as a government. We have a medium-term fiscal and structural plan where we've made choices around expenditure policy. There's a huge amount of volatility, uncertainty and unpredictability, which is what has emerged in recent days. And I think we have to be very careful in any intervention that we make. And
on our text line already, people have been sending us recorded price hikes in terms of, for example, home heating oil in some places of 75% in a week. Now, in the wake of Ukraine and that conflict, you did reach out.
Well, that was very different. I mean, if you look at what happened in, if you look at the scale of the inflationary peak, which happened during that particular crisis and it, and this, and how it's sustained over a period, that's a very different context to something that's happened over a short number of days where the price dynamics are quite different as it is. So even oil prices today are stable relative to yesterday, and that could change negatively tomorrow, and we're assessing that, but we need to be careful not to just we need to be responsible and not highly reactionary to price dynamics which could change quickly depending on the geopolitical context.
That is fair, but should it be the case that they continue to only move in an upward trajectory and they continue to escalate in terms of where they're going, can you reassure people that in those instances that you will review it?
Well, I think there's a number of issues here. There's obviously, you're asking me what government would do. And sometimes we simplistically have a binary conversation on whether every response to an issue has to be an expenditure related one. For example, you know, for prices that increased on Sunday, where oil had been purchased prior to any geopolitical conflict, that's a competition and consumer concern. And we have respective statutory authorities that need to oversee that in the context of price increases and challenging those authorities who have a legislative mandate to oversee that is as important as having a discussion on how much government should intervene or whether government should intervene. And there's clearly we have potential impacts from a geopolitical context around the economic position, which could change around the growth trajectory in the Irish economy. And we need to be cognizant of all that on any intervention that government would make. So what I'm saying is there are no plans to intervene. Okay. We need to be careful on this.
I know you've said that it's been going on for
a number of days.
I want to
And we've already made significant interventions in Budget 2026 on 9% on gas and electricity and other measures.
Just for time purposes. The critical infrastructure bill, Minister, you've secured government approval for the general scheme of things. How is that going to affect, for example, do you think the issue around the rotunda? Obviously, the rotunda was turned down by On Board Planola, largely on heritage grounds for a critical care unit for neonates. You're coming back, and the Minister for Health has said they're going to come back looking for even more now. You're looking for something not just for neonates, but also for mothers and neonates, and indeed an enlarged sexual assault unit, which is much bigger than what was turned down already. Is the critical infrastructure new legislation going to be able to, I suppose, strong arm in that changes to the rotunda?
I'll respond to the rotunda in a second, just to explain to your listeners what it's seeking to do. So we'll be designating projects of critical and national importance, approved by government on my recommendation and then approved by the Dáil. So there's strong policy direction around particular projects.
Sure, public transport, hospitals,
all
of that.
Yeah, public transport, energy, Dublin water Airport. Infrastructure. Secondly, then, it forces these projects to go to the top of the queue of all the consenting, licensing and permitting systems which exist in the state, many of whom
fast track
top of the queue, where we've, you know, in many instances there's a need for reform of that which we're doing and strengthen public service performance. And thirdly, then, my ability to direct these bodies to drive coordination and cooperation in the development of these projects.
I think it sounds like a good idea. So I'm what just we're wondering doing, is the rotunda going to get
so
built?
What we're doing with the rotunda, and like Jennifer Cal McNeill has done excellent work in responding to this with the master of the rotunda. You know from your medical background how shocking the current facilities and infrastructure is there, and what we're doing is trying to quickly turn around a new application. Minister Cal McNeill wants to enhance the kind of critical care facilities that are there, particularly if this is going to be the permanent kind of co-located facility with the Mater Hospital.
Bigger than what was previously turned down.
And this is part of the problem. Like in Ireland, for the last 10 years, we've had aesthetics, heritage, all of these respective considerations superseding the delivery of critical infrastructure in the state. And we need to...
Did we get it wrong?
We need to rebalance policy in the interests of delivery. And this is what we're trying to do in the context of this bill, the reform to judicial reviews, the reforms to infrastructure more generally. These considerations are not... balanced against the need to deliver for women, babies and staff.
And it's a good
example of what's wrong in terms of delivery. Absolutely not.
Okay.
I will argue that point with anybody. We have had this is replicated across everything to the point where we can't deliver important infrastructure for the state. And that's why we're providing a legislative underpinning of this. In parallel, I'm developing emergency powers.
You're giving the state a silver bullet to deliver things that other people may not want delivered.
I'm elected to get things done and deliver critical infrastructure, and I'm happy to be accountable for that. What I don't think we can allow to continue is the status quo, which doesn't reflect balance. We have lawyers down in the forecourts.
No, and I understand that.
Using process and issues to judicial review, lots of areas, which is just unsustainable, and we need reform.
For you, Minister, the Exchequer figures that are out today, corporation tax receipts are down by 21% on February 2025. How worried are you?
So this isn't a corporation tax receipt month in February, so we'll have a better indication in March. Year on year, there was a one-off payment because of the Apple judgment in 2025. But what is positive about these returns, one of the main indicators of in terms of tax receipts is actually the income tax. And income tax is up 0.3 billion or 10% year on year. And that shows a very strong resilience in the Irish.
5.4%.
Well, depending on what way you assess it year on year, but it's a very significant and strong growth of income tax year on year in terms of the level of employment in the economy and the resilience there. And also it's demonstrated as well, the expenditure outturn is moderating. So overall,
expenditure has gone up by also around 5%.
Yeah, so we've provided headroom about 7% this year. So it's actually moderated relative to the amount of expenditure provided for in 2026. But I think the income tax receipts are positive. We'll have a better indication of corporation tax in March when there's obviously it's an important return.
And no doubt we will be discussing that then. Thank you very much for joining us, Minister Jack Chambers.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.